March has arrived, and we're only weeks away from the NCAA basketball tournament. Head to betonline.ag and open an account today to get in on their $100,000 Bracket Madness contest starting March 15th. That's right, I said $100,000 and March 15th. You don't need to be a college basketball junkie to take part. With multiple entries available, it's this season's best chance to cash in. Whatever your passion is, betonline.ag is the place to be for all your betting needs. Visit our good friends and exclusive partner, betonline.ag, to take advantage of a 50% sign-up bonus. Just sign up for a free account and make sure to use promo code BLUEWIRE, all one word, BLUEWIRE. That's right, betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts.
Hey, all cheaters, and welcome to the Always Cheating Fantasy Podcast. My name is Josh. I'm here with Brandon. Brandon, how are you?
Feeling very wild card-y right now, Josh. Yes, it's true. It's active.
The wild card is here. And the wild card is here. And Brandon, normally we do a little, we chat, we make some jokes. But no, Brandon, this time around, it's all about your wild card. That's the theme of this episode, Brandon's wild card. I want that to be the name of the episode, Brandon. I want to lean into this wild card. I want to hit it from every angle. I want to work with you, Jerry Maguire style, to make this wild card the best wild card it can be, okay?
Does that make me Cuba Gooding Jr. in this example?
I think it does, yeah. As Rod Taylor or something like that. I can't remember what his name was. So Brandon, game week 28, though, just very quickly, you know, we got a lot going on. We're heading to the UK in like less than 72 hours. You know, this game week 28 is not a game week I want to spend a lot of time and energy on. FPL Backheel says, at what point this weekend did you start questioning the very nature of reality? Oh, I remember it well, Brandon. I remember the moment. It happened before the game week 28 kicked off. It was, around 12:15 Eastern time when the leak came out that Jamie Vardy may or may not be starting. And there went my lunch break, Brandon.
Yeah. And I know a lot of our listeners out there aren't on social media or aren't engaged the same way we are with FPL on social media. But when the Vardy news broke, it was like a tiny town thrown into total chaos. And in every corner of the FPL online universe, people were having their own level of freak out. Some people sort of went into like firefighting mode of like offering tons of solutions. Other people were just kind of screaming into the void. It was bananas.
People had burned points to bring him in before. I mean, this is a guy I guess he's had a couple of issues just this very year, but going into the season, Jamie Vardy was one of the real healthy players. You know, the kind of guy who is just I do not in my head think of him as injury prone at all. I don't know about you. I mean, right? He's like fit. He's always fit, right? Like the guy is 34 and he still runs nonstop. You know,
he's kind of that quintessential hard man. In that, even if he were fit, I mean, this is the guy who wore a cast for half the season in which Leicester won the title, and if I remember correctly, he just kept the cast on as a good luck charm after his arm had healed.
So it breaks that he may or may not play. There's all this talk that we may or may not have a double game week in game week 29, and we're supposed to find this out on Friday. And so it's like we're waiting for possible double game week news to come through. We're waiting for news on Jamie Vardy to be confirmed. In my case, I have Anthony Martial. I don't know if he's – I don't know what's going on with him. So it's like I'm juggling all of these issues. And ultimately, game week 20 does kick off. The rumors are confirmed. And going into that match, I was like, I had a bunch of players. I had players in Norwich. I had Cantwell. I ended up transferring in a Jose Perez. I had Sonyochu. And I was like, the only thing that I would not want to see today is 1-0 Norwich. You know, that's like the only, that is the only scoreline that would really kind of screw me. And yeah. I assume you kind of felt the same, right? I mean, going into this weekend and Friday's match.
Yeah, definitely. I took a punt on Harvey Barnes. You know, we were all just thinking that this Norwich fixture was going to be Leicester's opportunity to get back into the goals, get their attacking boots back on. Mm-hmm. You know, they've been losing ground the last month to everyone else that's trying to jump into the top four. And yeah,
What can you say?
For me, my feeling going into the game week, though, was like, how far down can it go? Like, is this pit bottomless? I was reminded of the narrator in The Big Lebowski, like during the psychedelic turn halfway through the movie where Sam Elliott says, "Darkness washed over the dude. Darker than a black steer's tuchus on a moonless prairie night. There was no bottom." And I will tell you, sir, after the game week 28 scores came in, I found the bottom. On 26 points, I discovered where the bottom was, and that's when I triggered the wild card.
Wow. Okay, so the wild, that was, that's an amazing bring back there, Brandt. So the wild card is active. Yeah, not a high-scoring game week, right? You ended up on 26 points. I ended up on 40, which feels pretty good, I suppose, in the end. So that's why I'm doing fine. You know, I'm not doing great. I'm doing fine. And so there's no need to talk about me, Brandon. I'm boring. I'm just moseying along through this season. But you, there's a real narrative here, Brandon. This is the comeback, okay? Game week 29. There are 10 weeks left in the season, okay? It's a little more than 25% of the Premier League season left to go. You've got a wild card. You're back, you know, 50, 60 points in some of your mini leagues. It can be made up, okay? Mm-hmm. So the wild card is, you know, even if it doesn't work, it doesn't matter, right? Because the point is, fantasy is supposed to be fun, and you could wait until game week 35 to play it or whatever, you know, and like, well, like whatever the optimal strategy is. And you could suffer through 5 or 6 more weeks of not having a lot of fun, but why not just swing for it? You know, it's like the Ford versus Ferrari analogy last weekend, you know, it's like, let your car explode or not, you know, it's like or maybe you'll win, you know, maybe you'll shoot past everybody.
I have to be honest. I've been thinking about that Ford versus Ferrari analogy all week. And it wasn't like either your car is or isn't going to explode. For me, the lesson of that analogy is you have to first be willing to let the car explode. It's more the willing. And yeah, that's what we'll have to get into as we talk about my wild card is, am I building a car that can actually go as fast as is required, or am I just building a car that's, you know, not fit for the racetrack?
But that's fine. I mean, maybe you're a little crooked, you know, maybe your elevation's too high, you know, maybe there's some issues with your gasket. I mean, I think that let's see what you can get away with, you know. I like this idea. All right. So just a quick reminder. I want to get right into it right off the bat here. So just before we get into it, the UK trip kicks off. We leave Wednesday night. I think we can now officially announce, because there's a car picking us up. So I think we can announce that we are going to be on the FPL TV show on Thursday. So really excited about that. So if you – I know many people who listen to this podcast also watch that. It's available – well, it's available in different places, different countries, but at the very least, I know that you can watch it on YouTube kind of anywhere you are. So we're recording that on Thursday, and really excited to be a part of that and go to Stokely Park. Maybe I don't know, Brad, maybe we can VAR a game. I don't know. I think we should at least, you know, see if that's an option. Sure. You never know. And is it Stockley Park, Stokely, whatever it is.
Stockley.
And then Friday night, we've got our meetup in London at Coin Laundry, that's 70 Exmouth Market. Once again, we hope to see a lot of people that we've talked to over the years, but we also hope to see people that we've never actually talked to before. I know, as you mentioned before, not everyone's on social media. There are people who just listen to this podcast, and that is their one kind of connection point with fantasy at all. And if you are a listener and you live in London, then swing by. And I think you'll probably meet like a lot of the people that you meet. I hope there are men and women there. There were at the last meetup. So,
I can tell you, Josh, I actually heard from one of our listeners who said they would be at Coin Laundry and they were excited to visit because that's where they met their fiance. Wow. So if you're not interested in meeting other FPL managers, you just want to meet a life partner.
Wow.
Then there's a whole other reason for you to come on down for the Always Cheating Meetup.
It's like Rihanna said, Brandon, you find love in a hopeless place. That's great. All right. So then Saturday, Sunday, Monday, we're going to matches. We'll be at the Arsenal West Ham match. That'll be at Manchester United, Manchester City on Sunday, which I think will be a pretty good game because both teams are actually in quite decent form at the moment. I thought Man United actually played pretty well today, despite that match being a 1-1 draw. And then Monday, you and I are going to Leicester for the Leicester Aston Villa match, and then heading back on Tuesday. So we are also going to try to record some content. We're going to try to do some Patreon specific stuff. We're also going to plan to do at least some kind of check-in. Given that we'll be gone during our normal recording window, we are going to try to record something while we're there. I don't know if it'll be the most cogent fantasy bus. I'm not even sure if we'll be sober when we record it, but we will record something while we're there. And
we will have pints of bitter and cider and lager coursing through our veins the entire time, I'm sure.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope so. Brandon, just before we go on to the main topic this week, which is your wild card, can you list the top 10, please, of the Always Cheating Super League?
It would be my pleasure, Joshua. From 10th to first place, starting in 10th, we've got Lucas Matthew. Then in 9th, Andreas Tongstrom. In 8th place, Reese Moffat. Then James Stevens, followed by Sean B. Hugh Patrick Campbell in 5th, followed by Håkon Jensen Lawrence. Down to 3rd is Predrag Juric. Up to 2nd place, Tu Lumbee. And holding it down in 1st place, Damian Bird. I think that's a new entry into the Super League.
That's great.
That's awesome. Well done, Damian.
Yeah, thank you for listening. Thank you for joining the Super League. You can still join that league and get the league code on our social media pages, or you can just get it from alwayscheating.com. Patreon thank yous. 2 new patrons this week. Thank you to 2 new Lord Soloth patrons, Carrie Swanson and Matthew Oliver. A special shout out to Carrie because Carrie really enjoyed Brandon making fun of me for being a gin and tonic drinker at the end of last week's podcast, and that little bit there, it was a show of solidarity for fellow gin and tonic drinkers that she became a Patreon supporter. So thank you to Carrie and Matthew for supporting the pod. If you'd like to support the pod and get access to some of our exclusive content, weekly podcast, Slack chat, we'll be popping into the Slack while we're in the UK. We'll also be posting some stuff while we're there as well. Go to patreon.com/alwayscheating. To do that, Brandon, let's take a quick break and we'll get right back into the pod.
All right.
Okay, we're back. As noted before, the theme of this week's podcast is Brandon's wildcard. I hope this discussion, though, will be useful for anyone who is looking at transfers for this game week. We're going to talk a little bit. It's actually a tricky week for transfers. There's a midweek FA Cup matches, some possible double game week announcements that could come through as well. And so it's a good week to wait until the end of the week to play your transfers anyway. So hopefully this discussion will be useful for anyone wildcarding or not. And so we've got some general questions, a few questions that from listeners about just defenders, midfielders, forwards. I think these are all questions that are useful for anybody, but I think they're particularly useful if you're on a wild card. So Brendan, I'm just going to ask you these questions and we can sort of talk them through a little bit.
Yeah, and just quickly to that point, Josh, of how a wild card can be relevant to people who aren't wild carding, I think it's a pretty good exercise in just who's hot and who's not. Mm-hmm. If you're on a wild card, it's your opportunity to fill out an entire squad with recent form players, as well as players that you know you're going to need to call upon in the long term, like in the home stretch. So I think it is going to hopefully be really informative of just the state of play in FPL right now as I look to draft certain players in.
Yeah, I think I hope that it is. So let's get things started though, Brandon, with a question from Boston Prof. He says, Brandon, what does your current wildcard squad look like? So Brandon, you want to just quickly do a little elevator, 30 seconds. Maybe just give me your starting 11 and then your bench for your wild card going into game week 29.
Okay, so there are a few holes in my wild card just because of player value. Mm-hmm. Some players I brought in like Danny Ings, who I have value built up, and Right. I can afford the player who I want to replace him with, but I don't want to just cast his value aside rashly until I know that's the exact decision I want to make. So I'll try and flag those players as they go. But
okay,
quickly, in goal, I have Bernd Leno from Arsenal. The back three, Trent Alexander-Arnold, Matt Doherty, and Egan. What is his name? John Egan.
Egan,
who,
sure.
Who could ever remember a name like John Egan? Mo Salah in the midfield, Kevin De Bruyne, those guys carry over from my old team. Sar, just hot off the heels of a sensational performance against Liverpool. This is a little bit of a cash grab. Like, there's no way Sar's value doesn't go up. Does it go up twice during this week? Probably not, but
chance of it for sure.
Yeah, I certainly do like the look of Watford's fixtures in the near term. So he seems like one of those gasket type players, I guess, where you could bring him in and hope he could be a supercharged differential. Yeah. Harvey Barnes is one of those players who will almost definitely be out of this wild card. I'm just kind of waiting to figure out how he shifts out. Aubameyang up front with Danny Ings and Diogo Jota. On the bench, it's Nick Pope, Soyuncu, Lascelles, and Cantwell. So the trick here that I need to figure out is I think Bruno Fernandes has to come into the midfield. How does that happen? The second issue I'm looking at is I would preferably have Jimenez instead of Jota, but Jota's price point is just so good. And I think that psychologically, I've been so fixated on I want Jimenez. Jimenez is the guy. And while I still think Jimenez is too central to Wolves to ignore, I've lost sight of the fact that Jota is playing. He's getting incredible minutes and he's delivering every time he's on the pitch. So I can't overlook him as a very viable alternative to Jimenez. So there it is. So I think it's just how do I get Bruno Fernandes into the midfield?
Yeah, I think if I were wildcarding right now, I think that Jota would be hard to resist. I mean, the price point is just such a big factor, right? I mean, I assume if you wildcarded a couple days ago, I think you rose again today, so you probably got him at 6.3 million or something like that. I mean, 6.3 million for – I mean, this is – you know, Jota is one of these players. He's one of the real form players in the Premier League where, you know, when he's in form, he is incredible, you know, and it's these little bursts of form that don't last super long. At least they haven't. He had a great season this season in the championship before they got promoted. Last year he was pretty good. I mean, he had 9 goals and 8 assists. Really not a bad return, all things considered. I mean, at 9 goals and 8 assists from a, you know, for a player who started off at 6.5 million. I mean, that's not that's actually quite good. I mean, you know, really. But I think the expectations for him were super high going into the season. And so I think maybe he's thought of as like a slightly frustrating player. And, you know, I was somebody who had him at the beginning of this season as well, where he started off 2-2-2, 1-2 were his returns. And so it's kind of hard to shake that off.
And if you remember, it mirrors last season where Jota had a great reputation coming out of the championship. And he was just silent for the first half of the season.
Yeah.
And he came on strong when the team really clicked in the second half of the season. So it's like we've seen this pattern before, and it bodes well for Jota going forward.
It's such a funny thing because he's been so good the last 2 game weeks, and then he's been good in the Europa League too. And you're like, oh, yeah, well, it's great that he's finally back. And you're like, nope, he was there the whole time. He was playing. He's played more or less the entire season. It's just that it took, you know, 27 weeks for it to finally like kick in for him. Right. So
I will make one more note about the plans that I made just first hashing my wild card is Danny Ings. And he's somebody that you, I think, want to talk about a little bit, too. But I actually am thinking of bringing in Dominic Calvert-Lewin for Danny Ings. It's a little bit of a price savings, but to Calvert-Lewin's form is just really undeniable. And more than his form, the eye test does not deceive. I mean, I know his XG was quite low, despite him scoring on that De Gea howler. And Everton, you know, there is an ebb and flow with their attack, but he when you look at DCL, you can see how he has grown into his body and how he has grown into the Premier League stature.
Yeah.
He is an exceptional striker right now. And I just want to lay that marker down.
So the one question I actually have, I'm not sure why this is the thing that stood out for me, Pope, would you give some thought, given that you're wildcarding now, that you won't, you know, that you'll want a bench boost at some point down the line, would you give any thought to having a keeper who has a double game week, or is he more of a game week 31 cover situation? Or is it just that he's so good right now?
This is the galaxy brain sort of, it's kind of like the reverse galaxy brain. This is the beautiful mind situation where I still am not settled on what my game week 31 strategy is. So right now where I think I am with game week 31, and I had to think about this on the wild card, because as you say, Josh, you have to be mindful of, well, are you going to build a team for 31, or are you going to build a team looking ahead past 31 for the doubles? Nick Pope exists in some liminal space. I mean, he exists for 31. Mm-hmm. But right now where I am is I'm just going to build the team I want now. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm just disregarding game week 31 altogether. I don't even know if I'm going to free hit there. Maybe I'll just play what I have. And then Nick Pope is kind of my concession to that. And then at 4-8, you can move Pope out for McCarthy, who will likely have a double.
Mm-hmm.
Or another keeper who would have a double. Pepe Reina will have a double. So I'm looking at Pope, Sarr. Those are the two players that I might not have if not for game week 31.
Yeah. I guess the thing is we'll have these FA Cup matches this week, and so there's almost no point in worrying too much about it right now, because after Tuesday and Wednesday, just for people who don't follow this stuff super closely, you know, the situation is this: the teams that win their FA Cup matches at midweek will not have a fixture in game week 31. Because that is when the FA Cup quarterfinals will be played. So all the teams that win, and of course any team that they were expected to play that weekend, will have an open game week in game week 31 that'll have to get replayed somewhere down the line. And so it's, you know, we don't really know. I mean, I think the key match really is, and the one that I think is most worth watching, is the Chelsea Liverpool match, which is, I can't remember if it's Tuesday or Wednesday.
Tuesday.
It's Tuesday. So interesting match. There had been some talk that actually there's a question here from somebody that I'll just work in here. Benno said Liverpool have looked poor since the winter break. Is there something wider going on, or will normal service be resumed shortly? So Liverpool, you know, finally lose a match. A frustrating match for fantasy managers, for sure. I mean, I guess unless you had Sarr in your team.
Where did these people come from, by the way? It was just a flood of people who had have Sarr. It blew my mind.
I was a little surprised too. Like, I mean, he hasn't played like since, I don't even know, like January. I don't know how his, I mean, you know, to be fair, his ownership is 1%, and it's probably at 1% now after yesterday's match. It's probably
somehow
half
percent. It's all people I know.
There were a lot of people that we know, like in our mini league, who seem to have Sarr somehow. So they have this 1-0 or this 3-0 loss, and they're really never in it. It's kind of a shocking loss. And so I think because of that loss, I find it very hard to believe that Liverpool are going to go into this Tuesday match away to Chelsea and just lay down and just play their, you know, 18-year-olds. I mean, when you lose, you know, kind of the one thing that would have defined the season for you, right? The first team since the Invincibles, you know, the Arsenal squad to be undefeated. I just don't think you go out there and just kind of throw another match away. I think that they will come out with a pretty strong squad on Tuesday. Do you agree with that?
I do. I mean, if you were to say what's more memorable than being invincible, well, winning a treble is certainly memorable. So that's still on for them with the FA Cup, the Champions League, and the Premier League title.
Charity Shield, yeah.
Quadruple. It's just could still be a huge season for them. Yeah, I wonder if Klopp still has reason to believe. You know, you still look at Chelsea's form. Chelsea are in not great form right now. They don't have a fully fit squad. And Klopp has every reason to still have a lot of faith in a lot of those youth players that he has been playing. So I agree with you, but I do wonder if it's going to be a mixture of the two. Not that that makes total sense, where I think you still need some squad cohesion. But I wonder if some key one or two key players for between Salah, Mane, and Firmino and the like will be rested.
Yeah, I mean one or two. You probably are right there, but I think it's going to be a pretty strong. I mean, yeah, maybe like Origi starts, you know, and you know, a couple of. I don't think we're seeing full on like 17-year-olds though.
No Harvey Elliott.
I just don't think I mean, traditionally, we don't see that very often this late in the game. If they were playing, you know, I don't know, some, you know, fourth division team that was kind of lucked their way into the round of 16, you know, which happens every year, you know, maybe then you do it. But I think away to Chelsea, I just think, I don't know. I find it hard to believe that that they would field a really weak squad. But I don't know. I guess we'll see. But I think, you know, what happens there really affects game week 31, because if Liverpool lose that match, then they would not blank in game week 31. And there'd be a lot stronger reason to not do a free hit chip that weekend, because you'd already have kind of the three players you'd want. And it wouldn't be that hard to get to a place where you get like seven or eight for 31. And if it's kind of, if there aren't a bunch of teams anyway, and the total kind of band of points, you know, is kind of like this game week where it's between 25 and 40, it may not be worth burning a chip, you know, to have the best possible score. Cause the best possible score might be like, you know, 57 points or something like that. You know, so, yeah, so I kind of ran with that, you know, I don't even know what your original point was, but, I think it's worth keeping that in mind, you know, when you're wildcarding, is you do want to pay close attention to these FA Cup matches, because, it's going to have a big effect on the players you want, you know, long-term.
Yeah. And it certainly bears mentioning on the squad that I just ran through, because I do expect my wild card to change a fair amount based on those results. Cause even looking beyond 31, it's going to impact which teams will probably double later on in the season.
Yep.
So
that's going to be great. I'm going to be sleeping on the plane, and you're going to like, I'm going to have my little sleeping, you know, mask on, and you're just going to be, you know, hammering away on that laptop. Just checking, you know, expected goals and, you know, those goals imminence charts. And it's going to be a beautiful thing. One other question in the general cues category is, Keith James says, is triple Wolves a must? You have how many Wolves in your current wildcard team? Is it just one?
No, two. I have two. With Matt Doherty. Doherty is just in insane form.
Totally.
We felt like he was priced out of the game at the start of the season when they put him up at 6.5. And, you know, he had this they priced him at six. Mm-hmm. Still, we thought six was too high. And Wolves were, you know, slow to start at the beginning of the season. And Doherty was actually kind of struggling for minutes there for a while. But now, smash cut, game week 28, Doherty's coming off of a great performance in the Europa League. And he's now back to his old self. He's scoring. He's assisting. He's clean sheeting.
Yep.
You have to have him in your wild card. I cannot
totally
stress this.
Averaging 8.5 points over his last four matches. I think he's got two clean sheets, one goal, two assists, three bonus points. So, yeah, getting points every way that you can. And actually, he could have had even more today.
Yeah. So here is the you're trailing and you need to make up ground. Yeah, I had Will Bolly at 4.7. And you think that's a decent Wolves defensive coverage pick and you want to have someone for 31. I'm not gaining ground in my mini league with Bolly. You know, miracle corner kicks might happen. Doherty is the type of player that you need for something like that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of with you there. If I were wildcarding, I would 100% have him as well. I mean, you know, despite his form, that, you know, his price is such a killer, but then you look at who they're playing, and it's, you know, Brighton at home, Bournemouth at home, West Ham away, Aston Villa away in the next four. Those are not in order. I don't know why I read them off that way. But the, you know, two great home matches, two great away matches. just an incredible opportunity for him to get clean sheets and assists. And so, you know, at 6.2 million, you cannot think of him like a typical defender. You have to think of him as kind of in the Trent Alexander. He's not really like Trent in any way, but like just in that, like in terms of FPL assets, like you don't get them for the clean sheets necessarily. You get them for the total fantasy asset. I don't know. You know, I'm not making a very smart point, but you get what I'm saying. Like he can score, he can assist, he can get you a clean sheet. It's a lot of different things. It's probably worth 6 million.
There have been drafts of my wild card where Moutinho has come into my midfield, but he does feel like a pick that is too clever. Like I do rate him, and I think I mentioned him a couple episodes ago, but he'll get you minutes. He's a great player. He'll get the odd assist, and he's a top performer for Wolves as a whole, but he's not the type of player that's going to be, you know, there's not enough action there. So he has to go. I'm happy with just two Wolves. And, you know, that kind of folds into the game week 31 discussion of I don't want to come into game week 29 with a wild card that's built for game week 31.
Yeah.
It's just, there are not enough good teams that are nailed on to play in 31, you know, Liverpool accepting, we don't know. And that's the type of mid-range planning that tends to blow up in your face.
Yeah, I think, honestly, I was talking to somebody about this over the weekend, but I think there's just too many of us are falling into that long-term. I mean, I know you're talking about like the kind of middle term or whatever, but like too many of us are falling into the trap of not looking at the game week in front of us, you know, just like this game week and the next one and the one after that. And there's an obsession with long-term planning that I think is really hurting a lot of people, you know, and it's stopping people from making good transfers, really. I mean, it's this long and short of it, you know, and sort of waiting for the perfect transfer, like the perfect time to spring this player on you, the perfect player with the perfect fixture at the perfect price, you know? And I think it's such a trap you can fall into, you know? And I think maybe the way to do it, and it sounds like you're doing this so far with your wild card, is just bring in the players you want and then assume that with good transfers, you can solve the double game week problems. You can solve the blank game week problems. I mean, you're still going to have a bench boost. You're still going to have a free hit chip. The free hit chip is going to bail you out at some point, you know, whether it's game week 31, whether it's some double game week down the line, you know, it's going to be there for you, you know? And so you don't need to solve every problem with your wild card. Especially another reason to play it. Like if you're listening to this podcast and you're on the fence about a wild card, you know, I think that I mean, obviously it's situational, but I would very much lean towards doing it. Just because I don't know, like if your team is just a mess right now, then like give yourself 10 weeks, you know, don't give yourself 1 week down the line where you're going to make up everything that you've been kind of waiting to make up.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't wait until you hit bottom like me.
All right. So we covered a lot of this stuff. There's a question from Shane about Alonso and Doherty. I mean, Marcus Alonso, is he, I have to laugh a little bit. I mean, it's just so funny that he's back again. What do you think about, would Marcus Alonso crack your team at all?
Let's see. Marcus Alonso hadn't played 90 minutes since game week 18. Yeah. In the last two game weeks, he gets two starts and he gets three goals.
It's ridiculous.
Three goals. It is ridiculous. Yeah. And yeah, he's the same price as Doherty, 6.0.
A little cheaper, actually. Yeah.
No, conceding two goals to Bournemouth, Chelsea's defense is a complete mess. And if you look at their upcoming fixtures, I don't really see many clean sheets in there. Well, I don't know. Villa in game week 30, followed by City, which that will be a blank in 31, most certainly.
Yeah.
West Ham, Watford, Palace. I don't know. It's too far afield for me. And maybe that, I don't know, maybe he's, okay, here's another way to look at it. Sure, Alonso. I'm not going to laugh at it like you, Josh. I'm not going to scoff at our
listeners.
No,
I'm not laughing at it. It's just like, it's he's, I thought we were done with him, you know? Like I thought it was over. I mean, he hadn't scored more than one goal in a season in 3 years, right? It's been 4 years. The 16-17 season was the last time he scored, you know, six goals. And then it was 0-1-0 the last three.
So what am I going to do with my wild card? Am I just going to have a back line that's, you know, $1 billion? Doherty, Trent, Alonso. I can't afford it, and I'm not going to go into every game week hoping and praying that Alonso, you know, yet another masterclass from Marcus Alonso. The odds are far lower than me getting some attacking points from some fruitful midfielders and strikers. So I'm trying to save a little bit of money to spend up front.
Yeah, I think that's fair. But I mean, you know, I don't know. Like maybe that Bruno Fernandes money is money that could be upgraded to Alonso. I mean, they are pretty good fixtures. Everton, Aston Villa, West Ham, Watford, Palace, Sheffield United, Norwich. It's a pretty good close to the season for them. So I don't know.
That's another thing for me to think about. Thanks.
You're welcome. And just while we're talking about Chelsea quickly, is there anyone else? I mean, Giroud scares me because I don't think he'll start much longer, right? I mean, we just don't know how long Abraham is up for. I mean, if Giroud is playing long term, I suppose he's at least someone you'd have to consider, right? I mean, he's only 6.5 million.
Yeah, I think that's a good price for Giroud, but I agree. Maybe Batshuayi gets a start here or there. And Abraham, Tammy Abraham has an opportunity to play on the Euros, which makes me think that he will push for some level of fitness and some game time to force Gareth Southgate to pick him for the team. So I don't know. And then you look at Chelsea's midfield, and it's just a grab bag of whatever. Mm-hmm. Who knows what's going to happen week to week?
Yeah.
So no, I don't see anyone else apart from them. I mean,
but there's a question from Shiv that says thoughts on Patricio as a keeper for the rest of the season. Now you've gone for Bern Leto, and Arsenal's notoriously airtight defense. What about Patricio instead of Leno? I mean, he's only 0.1 million more.
Yeah, I love Patricio. I love that shout. I think that if you were to do the Wolves triple, I think that's a really great way to go for Doherty and us between Jimenez and Jota up front, and then Patricio in goal. Yeah, you will have a keeper for the big blank game week 31, and it's solid. I think I'm kind of auguring toward, when will I bench boost and can I have two goalkeepers that double at that time? So, you know, if I end up with both Patricio and Nick Pope, you're not going to bench boost in game week 31. So I feel like it's one or the other between Pope and Patricio that you're going to pick from.
Yeah. It's interesting. Yeah. I wonder if bench boosting is an overrated thing with goalkeepers anyway. I mean, how often do you really get the double clean sheets, you know? Like, has anyone ever gotten four clean sheets, you know, from having two keepers that you bench boosted and they both had doubles, you know? So I don't know. I mean, I think that, well, it's funny because Wolves defense has been a little up and down over the years, but they've been, and obviously they conceded two today, but they have looked a lot better recently. It's amazing how much of everyone's bullies made since he's returned to that team. All right, a couple more questions, Brandon. Let's move over to the midfield. Kate McCartan. We have not gotten to this question yet, but Kate McCartan says, to Bruno or not to Bruno. What do you think, Bruno?
Oh, Bruno, baby. Bruno all day.
All right. You finally done it. You were like, you did not want to like this team or anyone on it. And he's irresistible, isn't he?
Yeah, all it took for me to break toward Bruno Fernandes was a Jordan Pickford howler getting beat at his near post.
he took that shot fast, though. That was, like, in real time, that was – he made the decision very quickly. You know, Anthony Martial would have dribbled 9 or 10 more times. He would have tried to pass it to somebody. He would have tried to dribble into the corner. Bruno Fernandes just drilled it, you know.
So, well, joking about Jordan Pickford aside, I agree. It's the way that Bruno plays, and always be mindful of the player who has a smile on their face. He is clearly enjoying his football at Manchester United. He clearly has license to play however it is that he feels that he will excel, however it is that will bring up the team. And I want a piece of that.
Now that just conjures an image in my head of a midfield of Bruno, Juan Mata, and Sani Cazorla. And just like all of them are just smiling the whole time. It almost feels, it's like chilling. Like it's making my my like blood like, run cold. You know?
It's like the Stepford Wives sort of situation.
Yeah, they're just grinning all over the pitch, you know. Ugh, that'd be terrifying.
But yeah, I agree. Like however you want to tell the story of that goal that Bruno scored against Everton, or just because he's gotten a couple of penalty goals awarded, it's kind of boosted his stats. But you can the eye test tells you everything you need to know about him. And
yeah,
with players like McTominay back in form, and yeah, today they were playing Matic, McTominay, and Fred, and Bruno was just like, push up as far as you want, man.
Yeah,
there are no real midfield defensive responsibilities that he needs to cover for. And all these players are coming fit at the right time for Manchester United. I think it's going to be – I'm so excited for us to be at Old Trafford for this derby.
Yeah.
Not that either of us are Manchester fans, but these teams are just
– it's going to be super fun. And I'm actually considering for my transfer this week going from Martial to Fernandez, just because, I mean, I feel like I honestly getting – 8 points the last two game weeks from Martial feels like a miracle. It feels undeserved in some ways because he's not that great, Brandon. Okay. I'm just gonna go ahead and say it. Not that great. Double digit goals in the season. Congrats to him. Very nice header away to Chelsea. A very nice goal actually in the Watford game as well. But it's so hard for him to score goals. It feels like it's never like part of like the run of play. You know, he's not very involved. And so it's like, as a fantasy asset, it's very frustrating because you're sort of like, you know, he's not going to have any chances the whole match. You know, it's like he's going to have one or two and he's a good finisher. And so there's a good chance he actually converts when he has those chances. But that's it. You're going to spend 83 minutes watching him play and he's going to be peripheral for like 81 and a half of them, you know? It's a funny thing.
He just plays like everyone's, like he knows everyone's watching. He's just... I don't understand.
It's like the opposite of Bruno, right? It's the opposite of the smiling jackals of the midfield. You know, it's it's
jackals.
I don't know why I said jackals. I was thinking of your Stepford Wives thing. All right. So yeah, I'm with you, Bruno. I love him. If I were wild carding, he would 100% be my team, even with the tough fixtures. I think that's fine. I mean, he was great away to Chelsea too. That's a tough fixture for sure as well. So, one last question here. It comes from Josh L. That's me. Brandon, I added a question here because I thought we needed it for this section. And it's keep, bring in, or drop Mane and Salah on your wild card. So if I recall, did you only have one Liverpool? You had two, right? Did you have Trent and Salah? Or do you still have Salah and Mane?
No, I dropped Mane. Mm-hmm. And Mane I dropped from my current wild card iteration because I didn't make any money on that transfer. So...
sure.
If it turns out I'm bringing Mane back in, then it's of no greater cost to me.
Yep.
It won't hurt me. Yeah, I only had two Liverpool players in my wild card, which I guess is slightly worrying, but I don't know. So many other great options that I'm feeling the diversity of my squad right now. I'm feeling happy about that.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's really the way to, especially with a lot of emerging players where, you know, one Sadio Mane can be turned into a Bruno Fernandes, and then that can turn a really bad defender into Matt Doherty, you know? And so is Doherty and Fernandez better than Mane and whoever, you know, some 4 million player you never want to start, you know? I think it probably is. So I think that's always the problem with these moves, and why some people really struggle to make them is like, you know what you've got with a really great expensive player, but it's, you know, and that money's going to get kind of spread around a bunch of other people. And so that balance it's like you want the stars, you know, but I think often it's better to have a more balanced squad. So I think I would have done the same thing.
But choosing between Salah and Mane, I'm still undecided. As I said, Mane went because I had no cash involved there. Salah, I have about 0.8 wrapped up in that transfer. So he's staying for the moment.
Yeah.
I think it's so close between the two of them. I don't want to overthink it.
Yeah.
I think if you're in my position, if your main goal is to claw back rank and points in your mini leagues, it does push you in the Mane direction just because it's now the percentage owned numbers are kind of they're a bit of a differential now, with Mane just under 25% and Salah at 45%. So you're just gambling that there are more games than not where Mane outscores Salah. Could that happen? Absolutely. 100% it could happen.
Yeah. I mean, as you recall, in December of this year, you know, I successfully, when I was kind of making a move, you know, in terms of my rank, it was having Salah, you know, when the numbers were almost completely flipped, right? Where Mane was the player that was almost 50% owned and Salah was around 25%. And that was really helpful for a while. So, I mean, I think that argument does make sense. I also think, you know, I don't think you need to go completely. I mean, I think, you know, if you have seven or eight players that are under 10% owned or under 15% owned, you know, your whole team doesn't need to be made of players that are you know, right. different.
Yeah. And then when you get to that point where you're going for the differentials up to the point where you're like, well, maybe I don't need the best player in the fantasy game.
Yeah.
Then maybe you're setting yourself up to play yourself.
So, right. Yeah.
I do want to be conscious of that.
Yeah.
Salah does have more routes to goal with penalties. I mean, Milner's been out for a while. Mm-hmm. There's a lot to recommend about Salah too. I think it's just it's a choice that you can try to make the right one, but it's up to the gods. It's not up to you.
Yeah, I think it's all season it's been really hard to get a bead on the Salah versus Mane conversation. It's like it's just like really gone back and forth all year. So, all right, let's move on. A couple last questions here about the forwards. Jeff Petter says, thoughts on Danny Ings. We talked about just a little bit already. Saints fixtures are great, but in a classic form versus fixtures conundrum, is DCL the better option? So you talked about DCL a little bit already. So just where are you with Ings? Are you still on your team, but are you strongly considering dropping him? What were your thoughts right now?
Yeah, I'm strongly considering dropping Ings. I do wonder if the real Saints are going to show themselves the way they did against West Ham, and Saints looked, you know, almost unbeatable a month ago.
Yeah.
And Ings was in form. Their defense looked fantastic. Everything was humming along and you felt like is everything okay here? Something's not quite right. Southampton aren't actually that good.
Yeah.
So I don't want to overestimate Saints' ability to carry this form through the end of the season. Southampton and teams like Southampton and Newcastle and Palace, they'll end up on the, you know, I will say the beach. I'll be the first one to say it. The age old cliche of teams who hit that 40-point threshold, they know they're not going to get relegated.
Yep.
And then they just take their foot off the gas. Is Hasenhüttl that kind of manager that will let that happen? Well, sometimes it's not up to the manager, and I just don't know. And Ings, the same thing I was saying about Dominic Calvert-Lewin, who is the alternative to Ings, I think. Ings is also going to be pushing for, like, you know, the one thing that he's left to achieve in his career. He played for Liverpool. Now can he actually play in a major international tournament with England this summer? Coronavirus, be damned.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, Ings has every right and interest in pushing on. But there's 0.4 to be saved here, Josh. And if I think Calvert-Lewin can meet Danny Ings, then I think I'll take that cheaper player whose team in Everton, I think, just has a little bit more to offer than Southampton does.
Yeah, I'm really on the fence about it myself. Ings apparently has been nursing a little bit of injury, didn't start this weekend, has not been in particularly good form either. What makes it tricky is that they play Newcastle at home and Norwich away in the next two. Those are two fixtures that are about as good as it gets. And I know, form versus fixtures, we talked about this last week, you know, form does win. But when you already have the player in your team and the fixtures are that good, it's hard to, you know, especially if you're in a position where what I would do is I would have to burn four to do it. And I'd actually move into Aubameyang, and I would drop Martial for some sub 6 million player. The player I'd need to be 5.7 million or under. The player I would actually consider, Brandon, is my boy Doucouré, who I have never had in fantasy ever.
Okay.
He is his fourth year in the Premier League. never once had him. I just think he's amazing. I don't know if he even is a great fantasy player or not, but I think he is just, I'm so impressed with him. I cannot believe it's taken me this long to appreciate how good he is. I mean, he was so good away at Man United. He was very good in the Liverpool match yesterday. What do you think? Decore as fantasy asset. He's 2.4% owned, 5.6 million overall.
Yeah, we saw flashes of it last season too. And I think what everybody noticed when Nigel Pearson came in for Watford is he pushed Decore farther up the pitch into a more attacking role. And I think that's where he does excel. It's a little bit, you know, he has that marauding game like somebody like Yaya Toure, where he is able to pick the ball up and carry it. He's able to be a bit of a destroyer, but he also has this, the soft touch around the 18-yard box, and he has a way to get in on goal. And I like that. I do rate him. Sarr is kind of a wrinkle there. And mm-hmm. if Sarr becomes, now that Sarr is healthy, does he become more of a focus? And not to diminish what I just said about Decore, but just strictly on FPL terms, does Sarr just suck away all of Decore's FPL points?
I don't know. I still be curious to see what the heat map looks like from Decore before Sarr came back and after, you know, and did he move into a more withdrawn role, you know, and maybe he was sort of playing a little more advanced when I don't know. That's not a question I can answer on this podcast. So let's keep going. One last question on the forwards, Brandon, before we take a quick break. Jeff Waugh of Schma says, is Aubameyang a trap? I seem to recall a rush of buyers last season only for other Arsenal teammates to stop scoring. So, Brandon, what do you think about the 11 million perpetually somewhat underrated Aubameyang, Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang?
Yeah. I mean, Jeff, I also recall Aubameyang being Cole Golden Boot winner last season. Absolutely criminally underrated. But this is why FPL is so awful, is because you can have a player like Aubameyang who is so good that unfortunately plays for a team that's a little too mercurial, mm-hmm. like Arsenal, and also just can't do it every week. I'm sorry. It's an impossibility unless you're, you know, Salah or Kevin De Bruyne.
Yeah.
So I think by that logic, maybe 11 million is a little too much to pay for Aubameyang, but that is where, you know, the trap conversation comes from. Where I am right now is I see an exceptional goal scorer who's in form equaling what he was in last year when he won the Golden Boot. He's fantastic. And if I'm looking to make up any ground, then I'm getting him.
Yeah, I'll make it very simple for you, Brandon. He's 20% owned. He is at his starting price on the season. He's got 17 goals on the year, and Arsenal are officially out of the Europa League now after a complete mess of a second leg, and they have a great run of fixtures coming up over the next five matches. I mean, everything is breaking in his favor, and that's why I'm really considering burning four to bring him in, because he is just irresistible right now, and yet 20% owned. I mean, that's quite low for a player of his caliber and with his track record on the season. So if I were wild carding, I would, infinity percent have him in my squad for sure.
I was thinking a little bit about the end of that Olympiacos tie in the Europa League, and Aubameyang had a sitter at the death where he could have actually put it away and Arsenal could have carried on the league, and he missed it. And when he misses it, he's wearing the captain's armband. And you think he exhibited quite a lot of remorse and contrition and sorrow after the match for missing that. And, you know, that could be just putting on a face for the fans, and you have to say you're passionate about the club, even if you do want to get a move in the summer. Or he's not. Or he actually is in it, and he's invested with Arteta, and you're going to see the best of him throughout the rest of the season. Or you're going to see the best of him because he needs a move to a Champions League club. Either way, he's going to step out on that pitch, and he's going to be wearing the captain's armband, and he's going to be looking to score every time he touches the ball.
Yeah, I mean, I think he does care, and I actually don't think I think he's too old to make a move at this point. I think that he's probably with Arsenal for the rest of his career. I hope he is anyway. I know, yeah, and I think he does play with a lot of passion. I think I actually think for all these players, it's pretty hard to be this good, you know, and not be passionate. Like, it's very rare that you get the like
Anthony Martial's.
Yeah, Nick Kyrgios is the player. He's a tennis player who hates tennis, but he's so good at it that he just keeps playing it. You know, it's like to go through the grind for so long. It's like you really have to be, like, you really have to care. You know, I mean, I think the Sergio Aguero. That's why he's such a miracle. You know, he's this little guy, but he just plays with such an incredible fight. You know, it's just like he just cares. I mean, even today, it was just like he was just gutted that he had to come off the pitch, you know, in this League Cup final. I mean, he just plays so hard. So, all right. On that note, Brad, let's take a break. And I hope has this been helpful for you? Do you feel like you've sorted some wildcard thoughts out as we go?
I think so. I mean, have I decided I'm going to bring in Decore now? I don't know.
It's tempting. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's helped for me. I've basically been, my wife is traveling right now, so it's just been me for the last 48 hours in my little apartment with my cat, talking to myself, making wildcard transfers. So it's just good to talk to another human being about what's going on.
All right, good. Well, we got an 8-hour flight ahead of us too to talk about that. So take a quick break and a short lightning round, and then a little Game Week 29 preview to come.
Okay, Josh, we are back, and it's time for our patented lightning round. 30 seconds or less, you know the drill. Our first question comes from Andrew WK's lighthearted younger brother, Andrew K. His question is, on my wild card this week and thinking I should prioritize players from teams who have something to play for, who are those teams? What do you think, Josh?
Well, it's pretty interesting, actually. I think you mentioned the on the beach rankings, and what is surprising is how much, I mean, if you go, like, there are very, almost everybody has something to play for right now. I mean, there's just a very small handful of clubs who have nothing to play for. I mean, Palace, Southampton, presumably Newcastle, right? I mean, they're on 32 points now. Yeah. I can't imagine them going down. So, I mean, Everton have a new manager, and so I think that they're still, I can't see them just playing out the stretch, you know? I mean, they certainly fought hard today, and I think they want to build momentum for next season. Arsenal, exactly the same situation. Burnley, you know, would in theory be a team that didn't have a lot to play for, but it's almost like they're making up for last season or something like that. You know, they're sort of like, I don't know. It's like they're sort of, they just don't give off the vibe of a team that has nothing to play for, you know?
Yeah.
I'm not sure what I even mean by that, but it's just like they're putting in some really competitive performances right now. The only issue with them is they have like no forwards right now. Yeah. And then I think above them in the table, you've got Sheffield United, Spurs, Wolves, Manchester, you know, all of them playing for the Champions League still. I mean, Sheffield United still kind of hanging on, certainly in the running for a Europa League spot. And then at the bottom of the table, I think it's really, you've got a, you know, I'd say a 6-way race to avoid relegation with Brighton, West Ham, Watford, Bournemouth, Villa, Norwich. I mean, if any combination of those three went down, it wouldn't shock me. I mean, even Norwich, I think, can at least score goals to a degree where you're like, well, maybe they could stay up, you know, like maybe they could fluke a couple of wins. I mean, I actually kind of noted this last week, where I was like, Norwich win another one, and they're only what, you know, they're 3 points off, you know, safety. So it's, you know, it's not out of the running for them.
Yeah, that is kind of crazy. One win and they're 3 points off when we had just written them off months ago. It's true. Yeah, so the point would be they all have something to play for, even Liverpool. Just because they love winning. Not that you needed us to tell you to get Liverpool players into your wildcard squad, but it goes back to just the point we made earlier. Get players that look good. All right, that'll bring us to our second and last lightning round question here, Josh. It comes from our friend Chancer Dan. What is the food/drink you didn't try on your first UK trip? And the one you'd like to sample this time around. So for the exotic foods of the UK that we missed when we were there, you know, 18 months ago that we're going to get this time. Is it finally time for our cheeky Nando's, Josh?
We have not done Nando's yet. That's a good point. We almost did. And then it was like surprisingly expensive and fancy. I thought it would be like a little stall or something, but it's like a whole thing, you know? It's like a... Are there waiters? I don't know. It seemed large. I was expecting something much. I thought it was gonna be like more like, you know, McDonald's or something. Yeah, I think the one thing that we're doing this time is we actually made a reservation, which is a big change for us. Lee from FPL Family actually recommended a steakhouse for us, and so that's like the one we have one actual recommendation for a restaurant or one actual reservation. Which I think last time we were there, we were kind of just flailing around trying to find.
Yeah.
Places. So yeah, I think it's, other than that, we're just going to kind of wing it. I think, I mean, I don't know what we're going to do most of the time. Just walk around and eat fish.
We will wing it. The one thing I feel like I do want to do is to get a proper English curry. So if anyone has a recommendation for their favorite curry, that's sort of central London located, or maybe, around, any of the stadiums that we're going to, let us know.
Yeah, that sounds good. And I don't think we'll be able to, because we're going to the Manchester Derby, which starts at 5:30, and we're taking a train back that evening. So I think that a Sunday roast is out of the question. But that is one thing that I would have enjoyed doing that if we had a chance to do that. I know that's kind of a great tradition in England. Not a thing at all in the U.S. It is not. That is a tradition that has not, as far as I know, never made its way over to the U.S.
No, instead of Sunday roast, we just have nachos. So yeah, you know, that's what's going on over here in America, in case you needed to know.
All right. So Game Week 29 kicks off on Saturday. It's a Saturday, Sunday, and Monday matches. The early match is that Liverpool-Bournemouth match. It may be worth holding your transfers late because we could see a little bit of rotation there. I think that is definitely a possibility, especially with the depending on what kind of team they roll out on midweek. From there, you've got Arsenal West Ham, which you are going to be there. It's so cool to preview some matches, Brendan, we're actually going to be there for them.
Yeah.
But a nice meaty run of Sun. It feels like it's been a while since we've had just a lot of matches on a Saturday, all kind of in that same, you know, that same block of time.
Yeah. Yeah, and because we're going to be in the UK, the what is usually a 7:30 a.m. kickoff, meaning a 6:30 a.m. deadline, meaning a early deadline that I sleep through, yeah. I will actually be able to, on my wild card, maybe make some last-minute audible calls if there are late-breaking news items about the Liverpool starting lineup. So that's cool. Yeah, there's a lot to love about these fixtures. I mean, the one that I think would be a fantastic, just straight up pure watch would be Crystal Palace, Watford. I think that those teams, I will be curious to see if Watford can kick on from their Liverpool victory. That was probably the most annoying result from game week 28 was, you know, I burned four to make sure I had a starting goalkeeper and I brought in Matt Ryan. Only for against the run of play, my clean sheet to be done in by the two biggest joke players in FPL, Benteke and Ayew. So that was cool. That was really awesome.
Such a nice play from Benteke in past. It was really remarkable. It was that game had 0-0 written all over it. But
well, I'll tell you what we saw from Benteke that match. He should spend 100% of his time passing and 0% of his time shooting.
Mm-hmm. He's so poor. It's crazy. I mean, I guess I have to give him credit because he created the only goal in a 1-0 win, but he is, he's not great. And then we have Burnley Spurs, which is a late match on Saturday. It's kind of a fun match, I think, just because, I mean, Spurs, what a weird team. What do you even say? I mean, Wolves were so clearly the better team in that game. You know, especially in the second half, it was, what a beautiful, that third, I'm sure you were, it was not fun because you didn't have either of these two forwards at the time, but that run from Jota that set up Jimenez for the goal was just beautiful. I mean, it was such a beautiful play. I mean, they're just such a fun team to watch when they're in form. I really do like watching Wolves when they're playing well.
Yeah, the Spurs clearly have the Jose Mourinho poison coursing through their veins right now, and... my heart goes out to Spurs fans everywhere. Like, they're going to have to cut this manager out over the summer, you know,
Yeah.
No matter what it takes.
It's not going to happen, bud. He's going to be there for like 3 years, I bet. And then Sunday, I don't know why I called you bud. I never call you bud, but that just felt right in that moment. Then Sunday, we've got Chelsea Everton. I don't know. No thanks. I don't really care. I don't really care about that match. And then I don't know. I mean, I guess if you're a neutral, from a fantasy perspective, I don't have a ton of interest in that match. As a neutral, that could be kind of a fun match, I suppose. I think you have to favor Everton to at least score maybe a couple of goals in that match. I don't know who wins it, though.
Yeah. I think for people who have or are scouting Dominic Calvert-Lewin, you know, I sung his praises earlier. I think it'll be his first opportunity, a pretty decent opportunity, albeit on the road.
Yeah.
You know, it's Chelsea are a club that they have to take points off of if they want to make a run at the top four. So I think they'll have a lot going for them. And Ancelotti, being a former manager at Stamford Bridge, he, you know, even though he'll be now watching from the stands because of his idiotic red card, he'll still at least tell them to go out there and win it for Ancelotti.
Yeah.
So I do like Everton as well. But then, it all is on the Manchester Derby to close out the game week. Well, actually, no, closing out Sunday. Mm-hmm. We'll be at this match. Sounds like we'll both be with Bruno Fernandes, which is really exciting.
Chance of it maybe for me. Yeah, definitely a chance.
Bruno versus KDB.
It could be fun.
Exciting FPL
could be
match.
Fun. Yep. And then Monday, Leicester Aston Villa, which who knows? I mean, this would have been a pretty exciting match fantasy-wise a few weeks ago. And now I don't even know what to think. I mean, this Leicester team is just – are they on the beach? I mean, can you be in a Champions League spot and be on the beach? It kind of feels that way for them. It feels like they're like kind of just playing out the string right now, like hoping they can hold on to the, you know, Champions League spot.
Something's out of control there. Something's not right. It's hard to really tell. Maybe Brendan got another job offer, so he's been, you know, taking meetings instead of going to practice. So it looks like I may have Soyuncu in my wild card, but I would still even consider benching him in this match, which probably says that I shouldn't even have Soyuncu in my team. So I really have zero faith in Leicester right now. There is that slight temptation if you brought in Perez or Barnes because of the Vardy injury, then sure, I think you've got to roll with them. You've got to play them against Villa.
Oh, sure. I mean, if you're not going to start Soyuncu at home to Villa, then yeah, you should just drop him, because that's a pretty good fixture for sure. I mean, so I don't know, especially coming off a League Cup loss too. I mean, you wonder if there might be a little bit of a drag after that. You know, there often is. So, I don't know. I think it's interesting. I mean, I will be starting Soyuncu unless he's injured. I'll be starting Perez as well. I hope he actually starts that match. You know how it is. I mean, it's always frustrating when you burn a transfer and that player blanks and you're kind of like, can I just have that transfer back? Just give me 0 points. Yeah. Like I would trade your 2 points for 0 points and have another transfer right now. You know, whatever. It is what it is.
What about your captain, Josh? Are you we have the same old dilemma as we did last week with the Vardy captaincy. Would you dare put your armband on a player with the first kickoff of the game week? As Liverpool hosts Bournemouth defense, so, you know, they are what they are. So it looks like a Salah or Mane captaincy would be the way to go here. Maybe even Trent.
I mean, Bournemouth are terrible. They concede a ton of goals. Liverpool just lost their first league match in like, what, 10 years or something, you know? I think they win that match really easily. And Salah played extremely well in the first leg of that match too. He had a goal and assist in that match. That was kind of when the Salah revival really took off. That was in game week 16. So, definitely Salah's on the bus team captain right now. If I burned four to bring in Aubameyang, it'd be fun to do that. You know, it might be fun just to captain him, because we'll be at that match and it'd be fun to, you know, but if I just have him, that'd be exciting enough, I think. So, I don't know. I think, I'm leaning towards, Salah. I'd be surprised if it was anybody else but him.
Yeah. Right now I'm going to captain Aubameyang.
Nice. So good.
That'll be fun.
There you go. Yeah. All right, and that is game week 29. Can't wait to see some of these matches in person. And that's the podcast. Thank you for listening. If you'd like to support the podcast, go to patreon.com/alwayscheating. Become a supporter and you can say thanks, get access to our Slack, extra podcast a week, et cetera. I want to thank our producer patrons as well. Thank you to Trevor Engerson, Mike DePietro, Chris Howell, Andy Penn, Chris Carter, Martin Savage, Brian T, DeBig Gaffer, Bob Askoon, Jeff Husby, Ben Grant, James Holland, Jazz Binning, Dave Wagner-Lodahl, Nick Wright, Jim Payne. Jim Payne had a little bit of a surgery this week. So Jim Payne, get well soon. Brian Chin,
well,
Blair Jacobson, Frederick Keen-Gransky, Travis West, Alan Creasy, Victor Forberg-Skoging, Paul Hertzig, Kaya Christine Lalang, Stian Niehaus, Barry McGuire, Peter Bodichtel, Andy Portlock, Toothless Gibbon, Andy Martin, Lindsay Rostell, Anton Markoff, FPLmerch.com, and last but not least, James Conroy. Thank you to everyone who supports the podcast. Thank you to everyone who supports the podcast. I couldn't talk there. Thank you to everyone who supports the podcast at any pledge level. We really sincerely appreciate it.
Yeah. Hey, and if Patreon isn't your thing, you can always help the Always Cheating Pod by giving us a rating or review wherever you subscribe to the podcast. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, Acast, wherever it is that podcasts are found. Give us a follow on social media, at Hail Cheaters on Twitter. Instagram, it's at Hail Cheaters. I think our Instagram is going to be lit up over the next week. Lots of pictures of Josh and me coming out of red London phone booths and all sorts of corny
sounded really, I don't know where you're going with that for a second. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
we'll be lit up with lots of glowing, loving comments from our listeners. But yeah, hopefully we'll get lots of good snaps of all the grounds that we go to and the meetup on Friday. We'll have to come up with a clever hashtag there, Jeff.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. Jeff. Josh. I don't know why I just called you Jeff. Facebook, we're at Always Cheating. Email us with your lengthy messages, hailcheaters@gmail.com. And for all this information and more, including the Always Cheating shop, visit alwayscheating.com. Josh, I will see you at the Delta Sky Lounge, buddy.
See you there. I can't believe my first time ever in a Sky Lounge. I'm really excited about this. Brandon, this is a great treat that you and your wife, I guess, because you guys got this card together, are treating us to. So, yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun.
Great. Bon voyage. We'll see you guys in the UK.
Yeah, the trip should be fun, too. I don't know. But the Sky Lounge is what I'm really most excited about. So, Brandon, yeah, see you in a couple days. Bye.